Peki de Blazer, talking to Nala. This parak is going to be speaking about. Until now, we've been speaking about the historical things that have happened in the past. You know, the first few prokem in the sefer spoke about Adam Rishon, and then it spoke about Noach, and it spoke about Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, and Mitzrayim, Yitzis Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Amalek, Chita Egel, Matan Torah, etc. The story with Pinchas, and then we spoke about Megillas Esther. Perek Nun and Nun Aleph, Perek Mem Tes and Nun was about Megillas Esther. Now Perek Nun Aleph is going to start talking about what's going to be in the Geula Hasida in the future redemption Be'er Hashem, which we should be there to see soon. And then Perek Nun Beis is going to speak about the seven wonders of the world, which not necessarily the seven wonders that you may be familiar with. And then Gimel and then Dalet is going to speak about Lashon Hara, and then Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we will be finishing the Sefer. So this parak speaks about different things that are going to happen in the future, B'meis HaMashiach, La'asid Lavi. In the course of this parak, it's going to be obvious why I felt that we should learn parak Hey and Vav before learning this parak. And we'll see what it says. Okay, says the Medrash. Rabban Gamliel Oymer. Rabban Gamliel says, "Kamaish Reish Chodashim Miskachin Miskachin Ba'Elam Hazeh." Just like Reish Chodesh is sanctified and is renewed in this world, Kach Yu Yisrael Miskachin Miskachin La'Asid Lovei. So too, the Jews in the future will be sanctified and renewed in the future. I mean, the idea is, first of all, the Radal says that maybe the gears are supposed to be mischadshin u'mischadshin. It'll be renewed and it'll be sanctified. Because every month we do something called Kiddush Lavana. Right? Kiddush Lavana is when we sanctify the moon. Right? After the moon becomes visible to the eye, so we say a special bracha within the first half of the month. Right? It's called Kiddush Lavana. So the gears over here should say, you okay?
No. You moved your place.
I know, because here it's warmer.
Huh. I brought in cookies to celebrate.
Oh, shkoyach.
Ay, ay, ay.
What?
I couldn't find what's
the guy
place.
Told you? I told somebody to tell you if he sees you in the shul over there.
Yeah, well, there was one guy in there, he didn't tell me anything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So this is
okay. So we're talking about in the future, the future redemption. So the Medrash says that just like the Rosh Chodesh, the month becomes sanctified and renewed, so the Jews in the future become sanctified and renewed. So the Girsa that we have is they'll be sanctified and renewed. The Radal says no, it should say renewed and then sanctified. Just like the month, there's a new month. And then, you know, after a few days into the new month, you start saying Kiddush Lavana.
Yeah.
So too, there's going to be a rejuvenation, a renewal of Bnei Yisrael in the future. And then it's going to be, what's it called? And then it's going to be showing their holiness afterwards. Right? And then there's another, you could argue, because in Chazal, there's a question, what the bracha that you say by Kiddush Lavana? We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechadesh Chodeshim. That's how we end the bracha of Kiddush Lavana. But there's a shaila exactly how you do it. Do you end it with Mekadesh Chodeshim? Do you say Mekadesh Chodeshim? Or do you say Mekadesh Yisrael? So depending exactly on the gifts, maybe if you say Mekadesh Chodeshim, so you could say Mekadesh and Mischadesh is really, it's like the same idea. You don't have to say that Mischadesh is going to be Dafka before. Okay, whatever. That's somewhat of a side point. So the Medrash says that the Yisrael Miskachin Miskachin La'asid Lavei K'may Reish Chodashim, like Reish Chodesh. And Emmer, as it says in the pasuk, Daber El Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, speak to the entire congregation of the Jews, V'amarto Alehem, and you should say to them, K'doshim Tihiu, you shall be holy, Ki K'dosh Ani Hashem Lekechem, just like I am holy, I Hashem your God is holy, so you also will be holy. Kadeshim Tihu, you will be holy. Meaning in the future Bnei Yisrael will attain a level of holiness that they haven't attained yet. And that, well, the Rabbi Leomi Izmir says that that has to do with the, as the Gemara in Sukkah says, that in the future Hashem is going to get rid of the Yetzer Hara, so people will be able to attain a higher level of holiness. So that holiness is what it is, that's what we're talking about, that in the future, when the Mashiach comes and there's not going to be a Yetzer Hara, so there'll be a higher level of holiness that's going to be even holier than the holiness that we can achieve at this point. So we say an idea that, the Barzu also points out an interesting thing, that in Kiddush, in the Nusach that we say of Kiddush Levana, so we say that Klal Yisrael is Asidim Hischadish Kemoisa, that Klal Yisrael is destined to become renewed like the moon. That's a Nusach that we say. So that's like an allusion to this, to what the Medrash is saying over here, that in the future Klal Yisrael is going to be renewed like the moon. Now the truth is that we said back in Perek Mem Hey, when we were talking about the eagle, so we said over there that in the future the women of Klal Yisrael are going to be renewed, because the women didn't partake in the sin of the Cheta Egel, and that we said the Medrash over there brought a pasuk of Tischadish Kneser Nuraichi, you will be like your youth will be renewed like an eagle. That's what the pasuk says. So you see that they're going to be, the women of Klal Yisrael are going to be, and that pasuk is written in feminine form. Tischadesh Kineshe New Raichi, it's talking about a woman. A woman is going to be renewed like an eagle. Their youth is going to be renewed like an eagle. So that the Medrash over there said that the women are going to be renewed in the time, in the future.
What's
going to
be renewed about this?
So I'm not sure exactly what we're talking about. What does it mean we're going to be renewed? And here the Medrash says everyone, the whole Klal Yisrael is going to be renewed. Over there it said Dafka, the women. I found an interesting sefer called from the Maraz Binga, Reb Zeligman Binga. So he writes in the sefer a very interesting idea. How do you see from that pasuk that the women are going to be renewed? Because it say Tischadish Kinesher Nuraichi. The last letters of the words Tischadish Kinesher Nuraichi are Shin Reish Yud, Sarai. Just like Sarai, the wife of Avram Avinu, became old and she wasn't able to have children anymore, right? And then afterwards she became renewed, she became rejuvenated, she became young again. So too, in the future, the women of Klal Yisrael are going to be Tischadish Kinesher Nuraichi. So that's like a remez that he finds in that pasuk, to be masber what the Medrash was saying earlier in Perek Mem Hey. And then he goes on and says that all of Klal Yisrael is going to be renewed. Because he brings a different pasuk than we bring over here. He says, because it says the pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chadashim, the Chodesh is for you, Bnei Yisrael. Right, that's when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that Nisan is going to be the first month. But he's expanding on that pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, like not HaChodesh, but like HaChidush Hazeh Lachem. The Chidush, the rejuvenation, is going to be for you. You're going to be rejuvenated, renewed, whatever exactly that entails. There's another medrash that says, the Radal over here wants to say that maybe the Nashim are only going to get Chiddush but not Kiddush, and then the men are going to get Lehischadish Ulehischadish, and the women are just going to be Lehischadish but not Lehischadish. Okay, I'm not sure exactly. He's saying some sort of Kabbalistic word over here. I don't understand exactly what he means, but the Radal wants to say this. I don't know why he would say that, but that's what the Radal wants to say. There's another Chazal that talks about comparing Klal Yisrael to the moon, and how in the future there's going to be a rejuvenation. And maybe it could be that that's what our Medrash is sort of alluding to over here. We said back in Perek Vav that the moon, and this is, I mean, this is obvious, but we know that the moon, in the beginning of the month, it waxes. In the middle of the month, it peaks in the full moon. And then from the middle of the month to the end of the month, it wanes and gets smaller and smaller. So Chazal tell us that that's a mashal to the Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David, if you have 15 generations from Avraham Avinu to Shlomo HaMelech, where the Malchus Beis David was building up, Shlomo HaMelech is the 15th, in the middle of the month, it peaked at Shlomo HaMelech. The Pax Judea, yeah, was in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that was the height of
15th from Avram.
What? 15 generations, one second, I'll count them. And then from after Shlomo Melech, 15 generations, it was going downhill, and then the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. It's kedai to memorize the generations. So you can say it like this: 15 generations from Avram Avinu till Shlomo Melech is like this: Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzroin, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshain, Salmoin, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David, Shlomo. So Shlomo is 15, and then from Shlomo it goes down. From after Shlomo goes downhill, right? So these are the descendants of Shlomo Melech. His son was Rechavam, Aviam, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, Achaziyahu, which the Ksav HaKabbalah says we shouldn't count Achaziyahu because he was only king for a year, so it's not considered like a generation. So not counting Achaziyahu, it's counting Achaziyahu's son, whose name was Yoash. So Yoash, Amatziah, Uziah, who is also known as Azariyahu, Yoisam, Ochaz, Chizkiyahu, Menashe, Amoin, Yoshiyahu, and then in the 15th generation, in the children of Yoshiyahu's time, that's when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Right, so I'm saying Tzidkiyahu was the last king, and he was the son of Yoshiyahu. Yeah, not count, right, because they were short reigns, there were 3 months.
Yoachim was like 12 years a king.
But I'm saying he was the son of Yoshiyahu.
So you're counting it all as one.
Right, because that's one generation.
Aha, I understand it differently. I understood it, that you are going to count everyone, including Amatio,
including Achaziyo.
And then you're going to come to Yeshua, because in his time, when he got killed,
the beginning of the end.
He conquered Eretz Yisrael. The entire Eretz Yisrael was a vassal state, right? Yechaz was under Melech Mitzrayim, you see, then he had enough of him, he brought him down to Mitzrayim, right?
To Mitzrayim, right here.
He first was an Ebed to Mitzrayim, then he was an Ebed to Babel. He rebelled, okay, he got rid of him.
You could learn it like that. The way I'm saying it is the way that the Iyun Tefillah, which is written by the Ksava Kabbalah, so the Iyun Tefillah on Kiddush Levana, this is the way he says it. So in a Chalam, you could say it the way you're saying it also. But fine. So it could be that's what the Medrash is talking about over here, that like Klal Yisrael is going to be renewed. It's talking about a renewal of Malchus Beis David. And in fact, when we say Kiddush Levana, so we say things that talk about Malchus Beis David. We say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Like, why in the middle of Kiddush Levana did you scream out the words, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim? What does that have to do with Kiddush Levana? So that's what the Medrash is saying, that there's a special connection between the waxing and waning of the moon, and it disappears, but it's going to come back, just like Malchus Beis David. It seems like it disappeared, and it's going to come back.
So I had a shadow on this one.
Yeah.
If it's completely one of the 15th, it says in the Rambam, Melchim Sheikh, also Lamo, the Hatsi, Malchus, W. Yoshin, and I'm sure he's running it, yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's going to be number one. He had 15 going up, 15 going down, 30, right?
Yeah.
Just like a month, you start again, you start with one, right?
Yeah.
So he's not going to be 15, Sheikh's going to be one, so how is he going to get the level W. Yoshin, or 14 and 15?
I don't know exactly what that means.
I'm just going to say that Mashiach is all the numbers put together.
Yeah, here. The point is just that it's going to reappear. I don't know if the point is going to be...
When the month starts, it's pretty dark.
You're,
it's
you're,
like,
you're taking the mashal too literally, I think.
Yeah?
You're taking it further than it was meant. Maybe. I don't know. It could be. Let's go weiter. So we said that Klal Yisrael is going to be renewed in the future when in the Yemais HaMashiach. Says the Medrash HaChachamim, that was what Rabban Gamliel said. Especially because Rabban Gamliel, this is also a Kadesh, Rabban Gamliel is from the house of the Nasi. He's from a descendant of Malchus Beis David. So it would make sense, like, if he's going to be saying something, he would dafka be talking about Malchus Beis David. He's sort of doing it in a coded way, but it could be that that's what he means to be talking about. So the Chachamim say, "Shemaim va'aretz asidim le'over u'lischadish." The heavens and the earth are destined to pass. The time is going to pass, and they're going to be renewed. Maksiv aleihem, because what does the pasuk say about the heavens and the earth? It says in Yeshaya, it says, "V'nagaylu chasef hashemoyim." It will be rolled out like the book of the heavens. So while we're comparing the heavens to a book that you're rolling out, what does that mean? Like a man who reads from a sefer, and then after you finish reading from your sefer Torah, right, you roll it up and you close it. so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to roll up the heavens, like he'll close it up, and then he's going to reveal it and open it up like the book of the heavens, and then Hashem is going to bring it back. So the Shemayim is going to disappear, its time is going to be over, and then it's going to come back.
So
we'll have to see exactly what it means, but this is what the Medrash says so far. And similarly, v'ha'aretz kabeged tivla. That's the pasuk in Yeshaya. The land is going to be worn out like a clothing. Ka'adam shu poishet es talisai, like a man who takes off his talis, v'hu mecheloisop, and he, one verse Girsa says mechel, which the Bais HaGadol explains means he measures it, or miyabeloisai, which would mean he cleans it off from like, different stains it has, or another gear so that the Radal says minayra, so he shakes it off. There's another bathroom over there. So he gets rid of, like, you know, the stains, the impurities on this talis. So too, kach mekapel es haaretz. So too, Hashem will fold up the eretz v'chayzer mechadesh shel mekorim katalis, and then he's going to renew it and put it back in its place like a talis. Shneimah, as it says in the pasuk, "Ve'aretz kabeged tivla." The land is going to be worn out like a beged, like a clothing. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter before we explain exactly what all of this means, at least to some extent. V'chol yeshu ha'aretz yitamu tam misa shnei yamim. Let's go weiter. V'chol yeshu ha'aretz yitamu tam misa shnei yamim. Everyone in the land is going to taste the taste of death for 2 days. Because there won't be the soul of any man or animal on the land. And its inhabitants similarly will also die. The Radal says, he makes a deal, because it says they're going to taste the taste of death. Does that mean they're going to actually die? Or does that mean they're going to taste the taste of death? Yeah, they're going to like somewhat die, but not really die. What exactly does that mean? The Radal's not so... He doesn't have it so clear, I guess. I think it means that they're going to... It seems like it's saying that they're going to die. Because he's medai because it says yemusun instead of yemusu. And the nun at the end of a word, as we've spoken about a few times, the nun at the end of the word comes to say that something is smaller than you would otherwise think. So what does it mean, like a small death? It's either dead or not dead. So he wants to say that it means like they're going to taste something similar to death, but not death. I don't know what that means. The Pasha says that it means that they're going to die for 2 days. And the third day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew them and revive them. Or the gifts of the Radals, Mechaye Es Hamesim, explicitly that he's going to revive the dead people, will make him Isam Lefanov, and he's going to stand them up in front of him. Right? Hashem is going to bring us back to life after 2 days, and on the third day we're going to be standing up in front of him. Okay, so what's this Medrash over here talking about? So the Parashas is like this. This Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, which is somewhat famous, on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Omer of Katina, Shis Alfi Shni Havu Alma." The world is destined to be 6,000 years. The Chad Choruv, and 1,000, it's going to be destroyed. Being 6,000 years, it's going to exist, and then in the 7th millennium, it'll be destroyed. Shneimar v'nitzkav Hashem levade bayemahu. Abaye disagrees. He says, "No, Trei Choruv." It's going to be destroyed for 2,000 years. Right? So what this Gemara suggests, and a lot of Mekubalim of the early, in the Rishonim, in the time of the Rishonim, go with this Mahalach, even though apparently the Arizal didn't like it or whatever, but the early Mekubalim go with this Mahalach, that the world is going to be destroyed in the year 7,000, and it'll be destroyed for Machlokes and Gemara over here, either 1,000 or 2,000 years, and then Hashem will recreate the world, and then it'll exist for 6,000 years, and then be destroyed again, and then etc. 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 A cycle of doing it 7 times until you get to 50,000 years, and then it's gonna be what I think the Rikanti calls it Yovel Gadol, and then the world is gonna be destroyed and it won't be recreated b'chol. It's a whole mahalach that a lot of Rishonim got. Rabbeinu Bachaye, Parshas Bahar talks about it. A lot of Rishonim speak about it. So that's what the Medrash says over here. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara alludes to it in Sanhedrin. Because how do you understand it? The Gemara says 6,000 years of the world is going to be destroyed, and 6,000 years of the world is going to exist, and 1,000 is going to be destroyed. What do you mean 1,000? It's going to exist for 6,000 years, and then kaput, then it's gone, right? What do you mean 1,000 is destroyed? What it means is that only for 1,000, and then it's going to be recreated. And then Abaye disagrees, and he says, no, not 1,000, 2,000. 2,000 years it's going to be destroyed, and then the recreation will happen. Right? The Gemara says further, it's also a famous part of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tandeve Leo, Sheshes Alafim Shana Havi, Havi Alma. The world is going to be 6,000 years. Shnei Alfim Toihu. The first 2,000 years was the world, the time of nothingness. Shnei Alafim Toihu. Shnei Alafim Toira. The second set of 2,000 years was Torah. That was when most of what's considered Torah happened. Most of the stories of Tanakh whatever happened in those 2,000 years. Between the year 2000 and the year 4,000 of creation. Right? And then Shnei Alafim Yimei Samashiach. From 4,000 to 6,000 is going to be the 2 millennia that are the time and its preparation for Mashiach. And then Mashiach is going to be there before the end of the 6,000th year. Before the end of the six thousands, before the end of the sixth millennium, right? So here the Gemara brings things in pairs of two. Then the implication is the next thing will be also the world will be destroyed, but it'll be for 2,000 years. So the Radal explains that our Medrash over here is going like Abaye in Mesachas Sanhedrin. Abaye says the world's going to be destroyed for 2,000 years, and then it'll be recreated, right? So the Medrash says that the people are going to yitamu tamisa shnei yamim. They're going to taste the taste of death for 2 days. Meaning, as we've spoken about before, that a day is 1,000 years. A day for Hashem is 1,000 years for us. So that means 2,000 years shnei yamim. And on the third day, meaning after those 2,000 years, then Hashem is going to recreate the world. That's what it seems that the Radal is sort of saying pshat in this Medrash over here. I didn't have a chance. I have these marmukimis written down elsewhere about where are we holding in this cycle. We know we're holding in the year 5,777, right? But 5,777 out of let's say 7,000 years, right? Getting to the year or get in those cycles, right? But the shaila is, in which cycle are we holding in? So there's different mafarshim that say different pshatim about exactly which cycle of the 50 of the what they call the Yovel HaGadol, a 50,000 year cycle, where we're holding it. But I didn't bother getting those marmukimis for us tonight because it's a little bit off topic. Fine. Weiter. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol tzva shemayim asidin le'over elis chadish." Not just Bnei Yisrael, and not just the Shemayim Va'aretz, but all the heavenly legions, all the celestial bodies are going to be, their time is going to pass, and they're going to be renewed, or they're going to be libol ulis chadesh. That's the girsa of the Rashba and Rabbeinu Bachaye. Libol, they're going to be worn out, and they're going to be renewed, right? Like the scientists tell us that, you know, the sun is a ball of gas that's on fire, and only has a certain amount of gas. When the gas runs out, so then the sun will just cease to exist because there's nothing burning anymore. Right? So Chazal are telling us there is such a thing that like the celestial bodies will be worn out and then they won't exist anymore. And then Hashem is going to bring them back. Maksiv Aleihem, what does it say about the celestial bodies? V'chol tzva'am yibel kinvol ale migefen. All the legions will be worn out like a leaf that's worn off from a vine, from a grapevine. Ma hagen v'atenu nevel ala mehem v'hem oimdem etz yavish. Just like if you pull off if you pull off a leaf from a grapevine or from a fig tree, so the spot where the leaf was will be like hard wood. It'll dry up. But then the fig tree or the grapevine is going to go back and it's going to sprout and it's going to grow and bring out new leaves. Kach kol tzva hashamayim yibaylu v'chayzen ufarchin or ufarin v'noitzesin v'tzemchin v'tzchachem v'mkayman. So too the heavenly legions are going to be worn out, and they're going to come, and then afterwards they're going to come back, and they're going to re-sprout and regrow and regenerate, and they're going to come back to their place. We have the gifts of ufarchin, they're going to grow. The Marzu says he has the gifts of upoirin, which means they're going to reveal themselves. And he says that, no, really, it's supposed to say uparchin, like what we have. Teach everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who can wear everything out. That's the point over here. This is the key line. To teach that Hashem can make everything worn out and make everything used up. That's the point. The point is, as Rabbi Leo Mi'Israel brings out the point, Barichos, he says the point is that in the future, it's going to be revealed to the entire world that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's running everything, right? And it'll be obvious to the entire world. The only thing is, there's still going to be makom for a person to taina. Well, you know, maybe it's the sun that's really in charge of everything, chas v'shalom, right? That's what the Avodah Zarah are. They worship the sun, so maybe they'll taina the sun. So what in the Lasid Lavi, in order to show that Hashem Taka is the only source of kayak on top of everything, so Hashem is going to get rid of everything and then bring it back to show you that he's in charge. So that's what it means. L'hidia shehu mevala es hakol means Hashem is going to get rid of the sun, and then there's no way you could say now that the sun is the god, and then Hashem will bring back the sun and then get rid of the moon, and Hashem is going to get rid of the tzva shemayim, is going to get rid of the shemayim v'aretz and bring it back to show that l'hidia shehu mevala es hakol. Says the Medrash, another thing that's going to happen in the future, ve'ein oid, not only that, more, lo'rov v'le'magifa, there won't be any famines, and there won't be any plagues, ve'ein oid tzaros chadashis, and there won't be any new distresses, shenema, it says the pasuk, ki hinu nivari shemayim chadashim v'aretz chadasha, because, behold, I am creating a new heavens and a new land, lo'rov v'le'magifa, right, there's not going to be any famine and no plague. So the Radal has a discussion over here. What does it mean there's not going to be a famine and there's not going to be a plague? He says, what do you mean? There's not going to be any death, b'chlal. There won't be any death in the future. So what does it mean there's not going to be a famine or plague? Who cares? And there also won't be any, I don't know, whatever, other reasons why people die. So there is a Gerson Rishonim that says, Ra'ah. Lo'i Ra'ah v'lo'i Magifa. There won't be anything bad and there won't be any plagues. So what are you going to say with plagues? So the Radal says that plagues usually come as a einish for doing averus. But in a time when there won't be a yetzer hara, in Lasid Lavai, when everything is going to be finished, so there won't be any einishin for averus. That part of that shlav of the world is already going to be, we're going to be past it already. Hashem will have already given out all the schar and the einish, or all the einish that people are due. Right, so you won't have a magefa because there won't be any reason for a magefa. So it says that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that even a death that's not a natural death, but a death that comes dafka from a einish from shemayim, even that won't be lasid lavei. And then with that, he wants to say that maybe rav also is the same idea. That rav usually comes because of a gzera, because of a einish, and then it's coming to teach you the same thing that there's not going to be any einish from lasid lavei because that will have already been taken care of. So we said that Hashem is going to, in the last love, Hashem is going to renew Bnei Yisrael. Then we said he's going to renew the Shemayim Va'aretz. Then we said he's going to renew the Tzva Shemayim. Comes Rabbi Yanai, and Rabbi Yanai says, no, what do you mean Hashem is going to renew the Tzva Shemayim? Last love, Rabbi Yanai, I mean, no. Kol Tzva Shemayim, Ovin Meschachim B'chol Yoyim. It's not just that Hashem is going to be renewing the Tzva Shemayim, the heavenly bodies, when in the future, but Yimayis HaMashiach, it's going to happen, it happens every day. Hashem renews the Tzva Yisrael every single day. Tehidu l'cho shehu kein. You should know that it's true. First of all, we say it in davening, right? We say in the bracha of Yetzer Ar, we say, Mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. We're talking about the celestial bodies. Mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. Hashem renews every single day, constantly, the ma'aseh v'reishis, the creation of the world. But Tezel Chashu Kain, you should know that it's true. Kisha Shemesh Naita Lovei B'Mayrev, when Shemesh is setting in the west, V'Recheitz B'Memei Ukyanus, and the sun bathes in the waters of the Atlantic. We sort of spoke about this in Perek Vav, that the sun at night goes down into the ocean. Ka'adam Shu Mechabet Neiroi B'Soy Chamayim, just like a person, if you have a candle and you want to extinguish the candle, you extinguish it in, you put it in water and it extinguishes it. So too, the waters of the ocean extinguish the flames of the sun, and there's no light for the sun, and that's why it's dark at night, right? And there's no light for the sun the entire night until the sun comes back in the east, and then it renews itself. When the sun comes to the east, what does it do? The sun bathes in a fire of in a river of fire. Just like a person who lights a candle from a pre-existing flame, and the pre-existing flame lights up his candle, and it literally means it dresses its flame. It means it assumes the flame of the pre-existing flame. Right? It assumes those fires. So too, the sun does that, and it becomes shiny again. And the sun comes up to give light to the land. And that's sort of what we're talking about when we say that every day Maisa Bereishis is Neschadish, it's renewed, that every day that the sun is sort of destroyed and then it comes back. Right? From a scientific perspective, obviously it's not true. It's just that we're turned away from the sun or whatever. But in a ruchnistical level, the way we perceive it is that Ki'ilu Hashem takes away the sun, destroys the sun, takes away its koichas, and then gives it back its koichas. V'chein ad she'yaveh l'mayav, until the next day where it goes to the west, and again it extinguishes itself, and then it renews itself. There's an interesting shtickle over here in the Radal. The Radal says that in the Yalkut Shemayni, it says that river where the sun, the river of fire where the sun bathes itself, is called Nahar Dinur. Gemara in Chagiga talks about Nahar Dinur, and he says that from Raziel HaMalach, from the Sefer Raziel HaMalach, where it says that Nahar Dinur was from the toldos of the Ar that was created on Yom Rishon. Meaning, what we have, the sun that we have, was created on Yom Revi, and it's just a ball of gas that's on fire. So it's like it's just a big fire, right? It's not necessarily what we would say Ar. But the Nahar Dinor, which is a river of fire, it's a different type of fire. Raziel HaMalach says that Nahar Dinor was from the fire that was created on Yom Rishon. Right? That it was Nignaz or whatever. And when the sun dips into that fire, it gets light, it's a different type of fire than you would otherwise understand. We've spoken about before that fire was created on Mitzvah Shabbos, right, on Yom Rishon. But the MS is that the R and the fire is sort of the same thing, because Maitse Shabbos and Yom Rishon is the same thing. It's the same day of the week. So it's not necessarily a stira. But the point is that the adult says that people like to ask this question, like, how can you have different days in Briyas Olam before the creation of the sun and the moon? How can you measure time? How can you measure days? So the Radal says that from the Raziel HaMalach, that they measured days from the light of the Nahar Dinor, which the sun comes from Nahar Dinor. It's an interesting var. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's Kabbalah. It's an interesting thing to think about exactly what it means. Says the Medrash, Ule'es erev hayareach like a chavav v'amazolis rechtz minor shel borod. In the evening, the moon and all the kechovim, the stars, the mazolas, and the constellations, they bathe in a river of ice or of hail. And they come up to give light to the land. Right, so it's like a different, it's a different, they also give light, but it's a different type of light. That's more or less the Vart. Says the Medrash, Ulo Asid Lavei, Akarish Baruch HaMechadish HaSan. In the future, Hashem is going to renew the light of the moon and the stars and the mazalas. Umoysif Al Oiran Oir Shivasayim Ki'or Shivasayamim. And Hashem is going to add on their light 7 times 7, 49 times, sevenfold, Ki'or Shivasayamim, like the light of the 7 days of creation, Shinemar, V'ayu Oir HaLavona Ki'or HaChama. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the Or HaLavana, the light of the moon, is going to be like the light of the sun, and V'Or HaChama Shivasayim Ka'or Shivasayomim, and the light of the sun is going to be 49 times stronger like the light of the 7 days. So the way we usually understand the pasuk is it's saying that the moon is going to be like the sun, and the sun is going to be like 49 times stronger. But as the Marzu points out over here, Rabbi Yana in our Medrash over here understands that no, Ki'or Shivasayomim is going back on everything. It's also going back on Or HaLavana Ki'or HaChama. That the moon is going to be, it's not going to be stam like the sun, it's going to be even stronger. Okay, let's go weiter. Rabbi Gamliel Eimer. Now, it's sort of a new discussion. Now we're going to talk about the connection between Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh with the idea of this new Hischadshus in the future of Yemos HaMashiach. Rabbi Gamliel Eimer. Rabbi Gamliel says, Oila shemakrivin b'chol Shabbos shnei kvasim. The Oila that we bring on Shabbos, the two kvasim that we bring in the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. V'ailas Rosh Chodesh parim shnayim. And the Oila that we bring on Rosh Chodesh, the two parim, Elu shnayim ve'elu shnayim. They're both two. Right? On Shabbos we bring two oilas, and Rosh Chodesh we bring two oilas. So Shabbos we bring two oilas, two kvasim, and Rosh Chodesh we bring two oilas, two parim. Keneged shnei olamos, olam hazeh ve'olam haba. It corresponds to the fact that there's two worlds, this world and the world to come. Olam hazeh ve'olam haba. Fine. Ayachad v'soyachad. What's it called? Ayil echad v'soyer echad. What's that talking about? That's talking about Rosh Chodesh, right? Yeah, ayil echad v'soyer echad is talking about Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, you bring in one ayil and one soyer. Kishem, no. Yeah. Kishem shehu echad, kach heim echad ve'elekehen echad. Just like you bring one of those, it's coming to teach you that Hashem is also one. Kvasim b'nei shana shiva t'mimin. You bring seven kvasim. That's talking about Rosh Chodesh. Keneged makrivehen l'machadshan. It's corresponding to the people that bring it. What does it mean? It's corresponding to the people that bring it. So there's a few pshatim over here. The Marzu says it's talking about Bnei Yisrael. Just like Bnei Yisrael is just like the Shiva Kvasim that you bring on Rosh Chodesh are Tmimim, so too Bnei Yisrael are Tmimim. They're wholesome. They're free of sin. That's one pshat. The other pshat you could say, the Radal says, is that there's a few other pshatim. Just like you bring seven Kvasim, so the people who bring Karbonos are seven. What the people who bring Karbonos are seven. So he says, either means that it's talking about the seven mizbechos that the avos brought on, or he says it's talking about the seven times that you bring a korban musaf. What are the seven times you bring a korban musaf? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkis, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. So those are the seven times that you bring a korban musaf. And then the Radal says, no, maybe it's talking about the seven koich ve'leches, right? The seven astral forces, right, the sun, the moon, and the five visible stars, which correspond to the days of the week, and we're trying to show that just like the 7 days of the week and 30 days of the month, that in the future Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to renew them, so too, that's what the Shiva Kvasim of Rosh Chodesh is a remez to. That's what the Radal wants to say. Just like Hashem, Kineged Makrivehen, corresponding, we bring Shiva Kvasim and Eshana Tamimim, corresponding to the people that bring them, like we said, Tamimim or the seven or whatever, Lamachachan, to the one who will renew them. Right? To Kaddish Baruch Hu, who will renew them, Kamei Reish Chadashim, who will renew them like Reish Chadash. Shinema, as it says in the Pasuk, Zeis Eilas Chadash Bechadashai. This is the carbon oil of a month, of each month. Fine. Later. Rabbi Zechariah Omer. Rabbi Zechariah says, Echad Reish, Achar Reish Chadash Maksiv. What does it say after Reish Chadash? Or as the Girsa of the Radal, which Chara is right, it says, what does the Pasuk say after it talks about the Oilas Reish Chedesh? Achar Oilas Reish Chedesh Maksiv. What does the Pasuk say after it talks about the Oilas Reish Chedesh? It says, U'sirizim Echad L'chatos L'Hashem. One Sirizim you should bring as a Chatos to Hashem. So what's this? We already mentioned before that there's one island, one Sawyer. Right? So what's that Sirizim? You bring it as a Chatos and it's L'Hashem. Now the Medrash says, the Medrash is sort of bothered by that. By other carbon musafs, so you also bring a sir izim echad lechatos, but over there it doesn't say lahashem. By Rish Chodesh, when it's talking about the sir izim that you bring as a chatos on the musaf of Rish Chodesh, there it says lahashem. By the other ones, it doesn't say lahashem. So why does it say specifically that the chatos is lahashem on Rish Chodesh and not by the other carbon musafs that you bring? Says the Medrash, Kishabara Kadesh Baruch Hu Olamai, when a Kadesh Baruch Hu created his world, Bara Shnei Ma'ariz Kedalim, he created two great luminaries. Shinema says in the pasuk, "Vayivra lekim es shnei ma'aris agadolim, es ma'ar agadol mishalas vayevet." Right? Es ma'ar hakatam mishalas halayla veis akoy chavim. Right? The big one for the day, the small one for the night, and as we spoke about previously in Parak Hey, in Parak, I'm sorry, Parak Vav and Zayin. Right? So we said that Shnei Hama'ayres Hagadolim is mashma that both of them were equal originally, and then afterwards it says Amara Gadol Amara Katan. So what happened? We spoke about over there that they said Ein Shnei Malachim Mishamshem B'Tagar Echad, that you can't have two kings with one crown, right? So they have to be that Hashem made one big and one small. Higdil Echad V'Hikten Echad. Hashem made one bigger and one smaller, right? Here again, the Medrash uses that lashon of Higdil Echad v'Higdil Echad. Hashem could have just made one of them smaller instead of making one bigger and one smaller. We spoke about that over there in the beginning of Perek Vav. V'Hiksha Hayirechus Arpoi Shlei Lasis V'Sen Barei Shlei Liyes Katan. And the moon was Hiksha. It's Arpoi. Its neck was stiff. It was very stubborn, and it didn't want to do the will of its creator. Shlei Liyes Katan. It didn't want to be small. And Afal Pikan Hashem made it small, right? The Gemara says in Chulin on Samach and Beis, the Gemara says that Hashem said to the moon, you know, make yourself smaller. And the moon said, what? Because I'm the one who said a good thing, I should make myself smaller. When he said that the sun and the moon can't be equal, I should make myself smaller. Not doesn't mean that it disobeyed Hashem, because you can't necessarily. Elements of creation can't mamish disobey Hashem, because Hashem is the creator and he forces them to do what he wants. Even though we do find such a thing by the Tachei Aretz Desha, but the point is that Hashem did make the moon become smaller. So lefika chayu saw makriven sir chatos lamala me'olas Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, Klal Yisrael bring a sir izim as a chatos to Hashem, more so than the Oilas Rosh Chodesh, in addition to the Oilas Rosh Chodesh. And Amar, Sirizim Echad L'Chatos L'Hashem. What does that mean, that it's L'Hashem? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaSoyer HaZeh Yiyya Kapara Olai B'Shul Shemiyatati Yatsa Yareach. This Soyer should be an atonement for me, because I made the moon smaller. Right? Obviously, it doesn't literally mean that Hashem needs a kapara for making the moon smaller, because Hashem is Hashem, and Hashem was obviously doing the right thing. Hashem was doing what was supposed to be done. But the Pais HaGadol, Rabbi Liyomi Izmir, Mufarshim say that what it means to tell us is that it's teaching us a lesson. In the Gilead over there in Masechet Shavuos. In Megillah of Masechet Shavuos, it says that Daf Tes Vav, I think it is, Daf Tes, So it says that, like, this is like Sredus in Kabbalah, exactly what it means, that Hashem made the moon smaller, so we have to bring a kapara for Hashem on Rosh Chodesh. But the point is that Hashem is trying to teach us a lesson, that when we do something, even when we do the right thing, but somebody feels slighted by what we've done, so there's an inyan that we try to be mefayasim, try to appease them, try to, like, ask them for kapara, even though we did the right thing, but try to you know, make them feel better about themselves. So too Hashem is teaching us that even though Hashem, of course, did the right thing by making the moon smaller, but that there's something still kibiyochel lacking. So Hashem says, like, we should bring this Korban Chatas on Rish Chodesh as a kapara for him, so that maybe the moon will feel better, to be mefayis the moon, right? To teach us this lesson that we have to be mefayis somebody else if we did something like that. Right, that's more or less the inyan over here that the Medrash is talking about. I just wanted to end with a vart that has to do with Hanukkah. Right, we spoke about over here Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. The Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are a remez to the new Hischadshus, the new renewal that's going to be in the future with Klal Yisrael and Yemais HaMashiach. That's what Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh is a remez to. So in a lot of sources, when it talks about what happened with the Yevanim, so the three decrees that the Yevanim specifically did, that a lot of Midrashim and a lot of sources focus on, is that they made a gzer against Shabbos, against Rosh Chodesh, and against Bris Milah. So what's the idea of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Bris Milah? All of those things signify a special connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I wanted to say, I think this is a good word, I said this by my first son's Shalom Zachar, by my son Benjamin Lezer Shalom Zachar, a few years back. I still hold it's a good vart. The Sfarim HaKadoshim speak about the last day of Hanukkah is called Zois Hanukkah. This is Hanukkah. Right? So what does it mean, Zois Hanukkah? This is... Okay, Parshat Pshat is that it comes from the Kriyas HaTorah that you read on the last day of Hanukkah has the word Zois Hanukkah Mizbeach, so that's why the last day of Hanukkah is called Zois Hanukkah. But what's the... Why is Dafka the last day? This is Hanukkah. What's the idea over there? So they've said different pshatim, different ideas through the years that I've heard. A time I heard once from a pshat b'shem of Shmuel Birnbaum. Could be he was a shtickle joking when he said it, but it says that the whole idea of Hanukkah is to show that the Or HaTorah, the menorah, Haretz Lahakim Yadrim, the menorah is the symbol of Limud HaTorah. But the problem is that every day of Hanukkah, so people leave yeshiva early, they leave second seder early, and they go home. So they're learning less Torah on Hanukkah than they do the rest of the year. So why, if Hanukkah represents the idea of leaving the Torah, it comes out the opposite. You're learning less on Hanukkah than the rest of the year. So what's the idea? So it says, well, every day of Hanukkah you leave early so you can light the menorah. Right? But the last day of Hanukkah, you don't have to leave early to light the menorah, because that night is no longer Hanukkah, so you don't have to light, there's no nine, on the eighth day, you don't light a menorah anymore, it's already, the afternoon of the eighth day is already, might say Hanukkah, so there's no lighting. So Shmuel Birnbaum says, oh, that's why the eighth day, when you don't leave second seder early, that's why it's called Zois Hanukkah. That's Hanukkah, because that's the real time when you focus on the Limud HaTorah. That's one part. But I wanted to say a different shot. I want to say like this. We said that there's these three gzeres that the Yevanim did against the Yid. They did Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. So I want to say that every Hanukkah has all three of these things built in. In 8 days of Hanukkah, you're always going to have a Shabbos, right? And you're always going to have a Rosh Chodesh. And then you're always going to have a Milah, meaning an eighth day. So at what point do you get all three elements? You only get it on the eighth day. Because let's say Shabbos is always going to be the first 7 days of Hanukkah is always going to be Shabbos. One of those 7 days is going to be Shabbos. And in the first 7 days of Hanukkah, one of them is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Right, so Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh you already get within the first 7 days, but Milah only you can only do Milah on the eighth day. So the eighth day comes the third element of those three elements. So that's why the eighth day is called Zois Hanukkah, because now you bring out the point of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. So I heard an interesting idea that the word Chashmonai, the Rosh Tevis of the word Chashmonai is a hint to all these different gzeres that the Greeks made against the Jews, these three that I mentioned, plus a few more that are spread out in other midrashim. Ches, Shin, Mem, Nun, Aleph, Yud is Chashmonai. Right? So Ches is Chodesh or Rish Chodesh, is reminiscent of the fact that they said the Jews can't keep Rish Chodesh. Shin is Shabbos. Mem is Mila. Nun is Nida. There's a medrash that says that the Yevanim didn't let the Jews keep the laws of Nida. They didn't let them go to the mikvah. They didn't let the Jewish women go to the mikvah. And the medrash says that and a Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nes that a mayan grew in their houses and a spring sprung up and people were able to go to the mikvah privately and they didn't have to listen to the Greeks' decree. That's Nun. Aleph is Ashes Ish. The Yevanim made a decree called Bistula Nisus Tibala Hegma Tchila. Any girl who was getting married, first she had to have relations with the ruling hegemony. And then Yud is Yichud Hashem. That they said that the Jews have to deny Hashem, they have to deny the existence of Hashem. One of the things that they made was they made a decree that the Jews have to write on the horn of a ox and the horn of a and on the I guess on the ear of a donkey you have to write Ein chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We don't have any portion in the God of Israel. They have to like write down a denial of Hashem, right? So the Greeks made them deny all this. So these ches shin mem nun aleph yud, these six things are hinted to in the name Chashmonai. I had this part from Rabbi Zev Lef from Rosh Hashanah. So these six things are merumas in the name Chashmonai, and that's what they were fighting against.